Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. Today, we are joined by two returning friends of the podcast. First up, we've got...
Hi, everyone. I'm Glorelis. You can call me she, her, or Glory, my nickname. I am a Black Latina stand-up comedian in New York City. You may have seen me in the streets looking like Rihanna, but I'm not Rihanna. I'm her tether. Everybody on this podcast and on Earth knows I'm a Gemini. I'm a proud Gemini. And what few people don't know about me is that my moon and rising is in Pisces. So I do cry a lot when nobody's watching. I cry rom-coms and I cry during Lilo and Stitch and 8 Mile. Like, I just be crying. And my mission is to bring people together so that they can be more compassionate to each other. And I want to help people be more accepting of each other. And I do that through my comedy. And I'm at the very beginning of my legendary journey. So you should follow me forever if I'm about to pull up.
She's back along with...
Call me Ishmael. I am Kyle Ishmael, he, him, his, blackity black, gay, New York political, Pisces, co-host of the cult hit podcast, House Party, and hopelessly hopeful lover of croissants.
Double the pleasure, double the fun this week. You get two guest co-hosts for the price of one episode. It's going to be an epic one. I'm very excited we got Kyle and Glory here. Now, often what happens is... I sit down with one of these fabulous guest co-hosts, and we get to gabbing, and we gab so much, a big gabbing, that sometimes we gotta cut corners. Minority corners, or corner topics, corner episodes. So what I said to do this week is there are two amazing corners that just got cut for the time. I know your time is a very precious resource, corner kids. And sometimes I'm like, okay, this episode has as much information as it possibly can. So we've got an amazing corner that Glory led just last week about the Crown Act, which essentially California passed, that essentially is, it makes it illegal to discriminate against black folks because of their hair. So Glory also touches on some of her personal experiences of being Afro-Latina and navigating just hair culture in the workplace and bias. And she really opens up. It's such a beautiful conversation, and just so grateful that we had Glory on here to have this conversation. We talk about Gabrielle Union. We get real personal about hair. It's political. We've talked about it on the show before, but it's another different perspective that Glory gives. Also, that there are groups for white people to talk about racism. We dive into that. Now, this episode is a bit of a time capsule because so much changes so quickly with the primary season. You'll hear references about me saying that Amy Klobuchar should drop out of the race. Well, speak it into existence, because that happened. So it's a nice little time capsule of where we were a week ago. And then we're going to cut into Kyle, his corner, where we have a really great in-depth conversation about Obama. We miss him. Should he jump back in and be a more of a leader into the Democratic Party and just sort of the state of the primary? Now, this was 2 weeks ago, but I will say that a lot of the sentiments that Kyle and I discuss about what happens when we don't vote, like what we saw in 2010, what happens if we go into a brokered convention, we also go into our fantasy ideas of like who speaks and when. We're just going to be unpacking the state of the primaries, our feelings about it, our thoughts, where it's going, and what we're doing as a Democratic Party. A lot of those same sentiments do hold, even though some of the people that we reference might not actually be there anymore. Bloomberg, crisis averted, but it was close. It was close. So kudos to everybody in America, because we proved that you cannot buy an election. Oligarchs will not bode well here in America. So I am very proud of our country, very proud of our party. Democrats, we did it. So that is the two corners. Oh, and then the third corner that we're going to have, we're going to bring back Glory. And I don't know if y'all saw this, but Lark Voorhees, aka Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell, was on Dr. Oz. and we unpack that. It is a lot. She was not asked to come back onto the Saved by the Bell reunion. Now, is it racism or is it due to her mental health issues? So we unpack that and mental health in general. So before we get into the episode, again, so much has happened within the past week. We had so many candidates when we last talked, when we last met, you know, Pete, Mayor Bloomberg, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, were all still in the race, and now they not. So much has happened, and I know with all those different candidates that I just mentioned have dropped out, and I know for some of y'all, your candidate might not be running. Your candidate, for some of you, is still running. Kudos. Fantastic. But I just want to touch on real quick for those of you who have candidates that have dropped out. And you're kind of like, well, fuck, what do I do next? And some of you are very passionate and very actively engaged. And it hurts when your candidate drops out. Because just the way the cookie crumbles, and there's many layers to maybe why they dropped out. Was there some sexism involved? DNC, da da da. But this is the way things are. This is where they are right now. And any of those candidates that are still remaining are a hell of a lot better than the current disaster, dangerous man in chief that is there. So it's all perspective. And perhaps maybe you're not necessarily ready to jump back in and fight for one of the leading two candidates, whoever they might be. That's okay. There is so much work to do. I'd like to plug one of the last episodes that we just did, in fact, with Kyle, episode 219, where I listed a lot of different organizations that need your help. So you know what? Maybe this go around, being involved in the general election might not be for you. So remember, there's Fair Fight with Stacey Abrams. You can go ahead and re-listen to episode 219, or if you missed it, it's a good time to go back. I think it's going to give you that inspiration that you need. Fair Fight definitely needs your help. There's Swing Left. There's Get Out the Vote. There are a number of states. Adopt a Senate race. I'm definitely planning on doing that. Because my candidate's out, but and it sucks and it hurts, but we dream big, fight hard, girl, wash your face and get back in the race. Ooh, put that on a t-shirt, put it on a pillow. But we've got amazing races. Okay, well, not the amazing race, but there are some intense races that are happening. We've got to flip the Senate, because at the end of the day, if we don't get that Senate, it doesn't matter who is at the top of that ticket, and nothing they want to get accomplished will get done. So Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, Maine. Oh, that's where Susan Collins is. Yeah, get her ass out of there. Or even Mitch McConnell. It's going to be a long shot, but Amy McGrath is giving him a run for his money. Make the RNC have to spend money to keep Mitch's seat. Or maybe he might lose it. What a win. So find the space, find your lane, because there is space and room for all of us and for those who still have a candidate in the running. And if it does turn out that your candidate is the one that's going to lead us, well, I'd say you got to step it up and be leaders. Leadership trickles from the top down, and being a leader sometimes means having to take the gripes of the people who are maybe disappointed that their candidate didn't win, and they're going to poke holes at your candidate or whatnot. And sometimes being a leader means water off a duck's back. You got to, you know, punch up, don't punch down. You know, punching down at the candidates who lost and then their supporters, that doesn't really do anything good. You are the leaders of this party. Down to these two. You are in the leadership position. You got to go high. Don't go low. Sometimes it's a matter of not commenting on everything. A lot of people are saying things out of hurt because their candidates are out. At the same time, you know, be mindful of the things that you're saying, because at the end of the day, this is why I said, been saying it for weeks, be careful of the things that you're saying about these other candidates, because you might have to vote for them, and not only vote for them, but be a champion for them. And no one's saying you've got to jump up and down and run down the streets and yell for them, but you at least got to vote for them and encourage other people to vote. But there is no excuse of sitting this one out. If you are like, oh, I'm sitting out because my candidate didn't win, Well, that's a very privileged space to be in, because there are some of us who can't afford that. And also says that, you know, if it's about the candidate, or is it really about a true movement? And the great thing is no matter if your candidate is still in it or if they're not, you have an opportunity to help shape the party's platform. You know, every single one of those candidates on that stage brought forth brilliant ideas that are going to shape the direction of this party and its platform. You know, if you really judge it up, I mean, even Joe Biden, if you compare his stances compared to Obama's stances in 2008, he's actually more progressive than Barack Obama, because that's how much we have shifted the conversation. So we have to continue to be in this fight, put egos aside. It's so much bigger than any one candidate. It is literally about fighting for the democracy of this country, fighting for this country. I do not say this lightly, when this could be the last election that we have. So take your breather, take your moment, and get back in this fight. Figure out your lane. Is it a Senate race? Is it helping to end gerrymandering, getting out the vote? You find it and you go for it. Let's do this. So let's switch gears here, and we're going to jump into a conversation with Gloria, and we're going to talk about hair. Cue the hair musical.
Glory's corner, Glory's corner. We're here in Glory's retrograde corner.
Right. Usually I do some horoscope stuff, but I'm moving away from that this year.
Okay, she got notes, y'all. She got a notepad. Right. Her glasses are
James,
on.
He's been dragging everybody, including me. And yeah, but I'm moving away from the horoscope shit a little bit. But I wanted to talk
She's like, Google it. You can figure it out. There's an app for that.
Oh, I'm going to tell you why I moved away from the horoscope stuff, because they said I was incompatible with someone. And I was like, this is not real. So...
Oh my God. But if they had said that you were compatible, you'd be like, oh, this shit is bomb.
Right, but it said the wrong answer, so I had to let it go.
Like a magic eight ball, and you're just keep asking the question.
I was like, this is wrong. There's no science behind this.
Fair.
Oh, that's funny. But I wanted to talk about, right, I'm about to put that in my, I come up with the best jokes here.
You do.
But I wanted to talk about something that has been in the sphere recently and kind of expedited too, you know? I want to talk about, and it's close to my heart, and it's kind of like where my Afro-Latinaness comes through, right?
Yeah.
Afro-Latina corner. We're going to just move it to
Afro-Latina corner. Right. That's why I love having, you are our resident Afro-Latina
Right, I'm going to move
correspondent.
My, right, instead of being horoscope, I'm going to do that. But I want to talk
multifaceted.
About...
Multifaceted.
Thank you. But I want to talk about the Crown Act. It stands for creating a respectful and open world for natural hair.
So and where's that act at?
It was introduced and passed in California.
Oh my God.
Right. I guess California.
That's my state.
Right.
And I guess that's I'm going home.
Right. That's why, you know, they're doing the thing with the plastic bags. They're doing the right thing.
We got
things.
A state of emergency just in case the coronavirus pops up and up, but you can keep your hair the way you want it.
Right. Honestly, like, can we just, what's the thing when you, is it
succeed from the union?
Succeed from the union.
We've been thinking about it.
Yeah. I might move to California if you become your own country.
Yeah. We have the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah. With that Silicon Valley shit. So, you don't need nobody. Y'all good.
Agriculture, wine.
Right.
Like, we are.
You guys are Italy.
We're helping y'all out, America.
Right.
And y'all kind of dragging us down.
Right.
Also, sidebar and plug, the governor, Gavin Newsom, is the one that signed the bill.
Mm-hmm.
He can get it.
Oh, okay.
He's also, Gavin Newsom.
I love me a fine-ass politician.
Gavin Newsom is ahead of his time, because he's also the one that originally in California was like, in San Francisco, he was the mayor, and he was like, gays can get married, and he allowed, and then it got shut down later on, but there was a slew of people who were able to get married because of what Gavin Newsom was like, this is bullshit,
everybody get married.
Right.
Y'all are ahead of the time, but, you know, back to the Crown Act, you know, I think...
He's going
to
run for president one day, by the way, too. So Gavin
Newsom,
speaking into
existence.
So we
already know, right, we already know what poster that's going to change
also,
into.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'm afraid because he is a very attractive, like, progressive man. I hope he ain't got no crazy, like, scandalous,
scandals. Yeah, he's going to be like the, what was that? John F. Kennedy, who he was fine at the time, so everybody
he
was
He had
like,
a lot of sex scandals.
I mean, right, you're right, my bad.
I thought you were going to say John Edwards, who, while his wife had cancer, had a mistress, and that's why he had to drop out of the race.
My God.
So these are not...
I mean, everybody...
Okay, Gavin. Be a Gavin, not a John.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think Crown Act. I wanted to talk about this because I think hair is such a dot connector. And I'm trying to get better at, because I think something that I think a lot of people, when they identify as Afro-Latina or Black, sometimes they kind of want to be merged into like the Black American experience. Mm. And I think it's important to respect it. And maybe you have had maybe like touch, like you've been in the same, like, you know, if you're going to New York, like everybody's in a melting pot, right? But you do have to recognize that just their experience, the Black American experience, is a little bit different because they had to deal with actual direct correlation to slavery and like the institutional racism. But I think optically hair is something that connects our Blackness. Mm. So like this is, you know, seeing this act being passed and seeing, you know, the Hair Love winning an Oscar made me really happy. You know, I'm not Black American. I consider myself a Black Latina. Mm-hmm. But it's an experience that I had growing up. I was like, okay. And
I think also it's a rising voice of a community that, because you also have your own culture and your experience and needs representation too.
Yeah.
Amongst even like the Latinx community as well. Of like, hey, we got our thing and our experience also matters.
Right. Like you white Latinos have been dominating Univision forever. Let's change it up a little bit, right?
It's true. Right. I do not see enough like melanin on those soap operas.
Right. I've never really seen.
Actually, I don't think.
Yeah.
I used to for Spanish.
You went from enough to I've never seen this, actually.
I actually don't think I have.
I don't think I have either.
You know what I did see it on? Siempre Bruja.
Oh, I knew he was going to bring that shit up. I saw they had the Celia Cruz like kind of novela on Netflix. It was like 400 episodes. Like I was with them. I was like, damn, yo, like, y'all took this novela shit mad far. Was the production value that, like, wow. But yeah, like, you know, I think hair is really important. It's our intersectionality as the Black people of the world.
Yeah.
Of the diaspora. Mm. And I think that conversation still needs work, but I know, like, where I stand in it. And I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes people use that word Afro-Latina, and they'll be mad. Even me, I think I have my own colorism, like, biases.
Sure.
Because everyone in my family is super white, so I'm like, I feel super, like, I'm kind of like an outlier.
Yeah.
But when I go, like, one time I got into, you know, Brianna might be, like, the second keyword for this episode, because I'm about to bring her back up.
Definitely know her name's going in the episode
title. This is what Rihanna said on Mercury Retrograde. But when she came out where...
This is what Rihanna said.
But when she came out with the Fenty Beauty products, the pro filters, me and my friends got into an argument about my shade. Mm. And I'm like... And she's, you know, Black American, I'm Black Latina. I'm like, we're the same color, but like... I guess I sometimes perceive myself darker than I am. Because when you feel hate or experiences, that shit is still triggering and traumatic for you. So I just, you know, I do understand I maybe don't realize how light-skinned I am in the world sometimes. Like, my own biases. But either way, I know optically, like, I have face issues that I'm like, bitch, I will slap the shit out of you, you know, with white people, right? But that's not the point. The point is back to the Crown Act. I forgot what I was saying, but I just wanted to make sure I was clear in the fact that some Afro-Latinas... There's the argument of, like, we have the diaspora blood in us, and maybe you don't look like it. And there's the arguments like, no, when I'm in the city, somebody doesn't even know that I'm Dominican until I speak.
Right. And again, like, there's probably, like, a lot of Afro-Latinos who were stopped and frisked.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty
so that's
much.
That's what they see.
Right, because they don't know and all that stuff. So I was happy to see, like, the Crown Act being passed. And it's funny because I saw a tweet, you know, I just kind of live on Twitter, James. I saw a tweet that said, why are you late to work? And back when I was working full time, it actually was because of my hair. Like, I would be like, I can't go to a client meeting like this. They're going to, when I straighten my hair, they'd be like, okay, what she said has authority. But when I was natural, it was like, I was treated like two different people
like,
at
who
work.
Who this crazy girl with all that crazy hair?
Right.
I bet they're probably like, oh, she's so aggressive today.
Right. Or like, you're in a mood. And it's And those are things we have to do. Like you said, the thoughts you have when you wake up, like those are thoughts I had to wake up from, like, what am I going to do to my hair? So my new routine was getting it done on Sunday so that I would or know what my hair would look like throughout the week, whatever. But the authority, the Crown Act, and recently, a lot of people don't know this because they think I'm a famous celebrity, but I was hosting at a restaurant, fine dining experience.
Hi.
Right. And
get those tips.
I usually, now my whole thing is wearing a half wig. So I'll do half of my front of the hair and everything is just like, we're going to get to this when we get to this, right?
Totally, yeah.
But I would have moments even at that minimum ass wage job where I'm like, yo, can I even wear my hair natural? Like, would it change?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm the first face they see at this fine dining restaurant. So I was like.
And again, your thought process that, you know, Becky doesn't have to go through.
Right. I don't give a fuck about. Like, I don't, this job was a survival job, but it's also like, you know, what, I quit that job. You know, I quit every job, but
did you quit when Mercury was in retrograde?
No, I quit before that.
Because you were like, oh, you're not going to be here when Mercury's in retrograde.
No, it was just like, this is a minimum wage job. I told you I was a comedian. Like, you are criticizing me for the way I pass out menus. And it's like, baby, I don't give a fuck.
This sounds like a very, like, you know when your boss is too involved in the work that you do?
Right. It was like, a lot for, like, a menu passing job. I was like, I was like, y'all doing too much. I could find another host. It's New York City. They're looking for hosts everywhere. But one of the other things, back to the Crown Act, that I had to do at my corporate job was I would announce when I was going to change my hair. Because I didn't want to come into the next day and feel awkward.
And they were going to be like, oh my God, your hair's so long.
And they still did it
anyway. Oh my God, your hair's so short this week. And, oh, it's long again.
Right. And it's like, leave me. Nobody's making, you know, Becky didn't do her hair.
Yeah, Becky didn't. Right. And neither did Karen. Right. Karen hasn't done her hair in years.
And Justin didn't get a shape up in years, you know? that was my arch nemesis at work. I had a friend, Justin, and an arch nemesis, Justin. But I would have to announce, like, yo,
they know which one they are.
Right, they know.
You know.
Yeah.
Friend Justin.
Because when I quit, I told everybody to suck my dick. But that's not neither here nor there.
Which, that's what, when Rihanna was trying to say.
That's what she was trying to say. Allies can suck my dick if you're not raising your hand up. That's what she was trying to say.
If you wait on the right side of history, right, you allies, can suck my dick.
That's what she was saying.
That's what Rihanna was trying to say.
But yeah, so it's just like, again, and I also left my therapist because she made a comment about my hair. I'm dead ass. Because I was, the first year of therapy was about how I was, she was a white woman. So I was like, you know, it's fine. Maybe you don't understand my experiences, but I try to open up as much as I could. And the next year, a lot of my, the second year, I try to get a little bit more open. And a lot of my traumas come from my appearance, just how I was treated within my own culture. And like, I never really liked myself because of my hair. So I was like, you know, Shelly, I want to talk to you about hair this year. I want to go deeper into that. She's like, why don't you just go to the salon? And that's when I was like, you know what, bitch? This is the last day you're going to see me.
You're not the right fit.
And that's a whole different story of kind of like internal self-hate that we have in the salon. Oh,
and sidebar, I won't go too deep into this. And I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but there is an app that specifically helps black people find therapists. Specifically for black people.
Therapy for black girls?
I think so. Yeah. Something like that. I'll link it in the show notes or something. And but because we have a very specific lane.
Yeah, my budget isn't there right now, so I'll just keep journaling.
Dream.
But yeah.
Your journal is not like just go to the salon.
But I will say, you know, the year, I think I did take some of the tools from therapy. Okay. It's like, you know, just because you see the world, you have rules for your life, you shouldn't impose those rules on other people. That was the biggest takeaway I had because I'm very hard on myself.
Right. Yeah.
But
which you've had, and you've also been very successful. And part of that has come because you, whether it was taught to you directly, you learned that you had to work twice as hard to get half as much, that there was shit that you weren't going to be able to get away with. Right. And that, you know, sometimes for us as minorities, wherever we are in that, you know, wherever you are in the corner, which corner you're in, there's this idea of, that's why we tend to be such overachievers, because, I will be loved or worthwhile when I'm this, right?
And that's how, I don't want to turn this a therapy session, but that's kind of like what I felt my whole life. I was like, I have to be of value to people or else they won't like me because, and that's why I've always been like super, and that comes from my daddy issues, whatever, because he was light skinned. He's like a white pat. I love him now, but we had issues. Like, I felt like he didn't like me as his daughter because I didn't look like his daughter. My sister is a more white passing Dominican. And one year he took her to DR and I was like, that's it. It's over. He don't like me. But okay, back to the Crown.
Remind us all that our value is not our self-worth.
It's not.
And that's also a capitalist idea as well, that whatever our output is our worthwhile. That's what we've been trained to.
Yeah.
And adding in any sort of minority-ness just exacerbates that.
Right. That's deep. And I need to blog about that. No, it does, because I just feel like, you know, I'm in a weird space right now where I was like, I'm doing so much, but it's not because, obviously I have to pay rent, but a lot of it is this, I'm doing self-work through my art.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, this is like, why are you getting all these great things? Like, I'm working on myself. Like, this is not just me trying to be funny. Like, I really am trying to find myself through my jokes and my content.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put this plug in my thing. But I wanted to give a premise of it, because I think sometimes as Afro-Latinas and still kind of making our own space, sometimes, you know, Black American women don't understand that we can empathize with them. So like, and because, you know, there's like privileges of being a Latina woman, all that stuff. But when I saw the stuff about the Crown Act and I saw the, I'm sorry, what's his name? DeAndre? DeAndre Arnold, you know, being suspended from school for wearing his dreadlocks.
And was he the one that was invited to the Oscars?
Yeah, he went to see Hair Love with them. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, like, it's interesting because when I saw Hair Love, I got really emotional. Mm. And I'm sure people got emotional for different reasons. But I was like, this is kind of like what I went through as a child. Like, nobody knew how to do my hair. And it's like, I just want to look like a person. I want to be treated, you know. My mom didn't know how to do my hair. She started perming my hair when I was young because they don't know how to deal with my hair. It's really like, you see it now and it's come a long way. People are like, oh, you used to get perms. But like, I just remember going to school and not liking myself for a long time because boys wouldn't like me because my hair was never done. Mm. Remember one guy told me like, oh, I don't like her. She never does her hair. I was like, well, I don't know how to fucking do my hair, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's important. It's crazy that you need to blatantly state, like, we need to have a law and an act for this, that you should not discriminate against people's hair.
Yeah.
Because just because you are... And I'm not just saying white Americans do this, but just because you don't know that experience.
But and even people of color participate in this as right. well. Like, we all play into the... We're stopping ourselves, but the rat race white assimilation game.
Yeah, the white assimilation game is like, we need to... I understand there's going to be a lot of industries that it may never be... You may never feel comfortable as a black woman, as a black man, to wear your hair as natural as you want. Like the banking industry, I worked in marketing for a lot, so I was able to play a little bit more with that.
Sure.
And when I was a hostess, I didn't give a fuck about that job. Nope. So I was definitely like, this is what you're going to get today.
Yep, you're getting a half piece.
But it's crazy that you can't be yourself mm-hmm. at work. It really does fuck with your performance. Like I remember like if my hair wasn't straight, I wouldn't have a good day at work. Because right. I'm like, people are looking at me all day. And, like, you know, you have this hyper-visibility in this white world, all that stuff.
And the folks at Wakanda ain't got to deal with this.
Right. We could have been living our lives with the Harriet Tubman Wakanda credit card that they try to push out, playing all them games. But, yeah, so the act is pretty recent.
Yep.
And, you know, I thought it was amazing that it was introduced in 2009 and yeah. it was literally signed.
And Gavin Newsom has also, I believe, outlawed private prisons in California.
Oh, you about to be on, that's why you moved to California,
bye.
James.
I'm out. We might get the fires, but you know what? Gavin Newsom's going to sign some dope ass mm-hmm. shit that's going to be like, all of a sudden, there's just a green bubble around California.
Right. He's really trying to succeed. I might have to go works. Before they won't let no more citizens into California.
We're like, oh, sorry, California's full.
Right. Yeah. But I wanted to shout out Colorado, Washington State, Minnesota, New York, New Jersey. They're talking about.
Wow.
Some of them have passed the law, the act. Some of them are still.
Minnesota. That's
right. I was like, Minnesota.
That's where Amy Klobuchar is. So maybe, maybe I'm wrong. Get out that race, Amy Klobuchar.
But I think, the act is pretty straightforward. And then I wanted to talk about, it's interesting because Dove has been really supportive of this act and they did a case study and kind of, that's why I brought up my personal experience, kind of speaking to what I experienced in work as a Black Latina. They were just saying that like a lot of women, they get more judged at work for their hair. They don't, they're more likely to be sent home if they don't wear the right hair, right?
Well, even Gabrielle Union.
Right, that was a
with
thing.
With the X Factor, she essentially, yeah. she got so many notes on
about
her hair.
About how she was wearing her hair. About
that she was wearing her hair and she wasn't. And she, has like the most amount of Twitter followers mm-hmm. out of any of the judges. She right. was one of the most popular judges X Factors yeah. ever had. And she wasn't invited back for her contract. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. them dudes, like, I don't even know who the dudes are. What is it? Like Simon Cowell and Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
Like, nobody care about them. Right. But Gabrielle Union, like, almost tuned in for.
And it's so crazy, James, that this, you know, sometimes when you see a celebrity, you think that they have freedom to just actually be themselves. But no. they are actually even more restricted because you have to fit into certain, like, roles. And it's crazy that someone like Gabrielle Union is kind of in experiencing things that women, regular women face mm-hmm. as well still. So that's why I did it. I don't want to get into the Terry Crews thing, but it's like you can't invalidate. Sometimes it's hard to even explain that to people because it seems so minimal, but it's like, you don't know what I'm going through.
And you know what? That brings me, you just really got me upset because I hate that, like, no one should have to explain their experience to someone.
Yeah.
If I tell you this is my experience, you might not understand it.
Right.
Take it for fucking face
value.
That's it.
Yeah.
You just gotta, okay, I don't really know what that is, but I'm just, all right. And love and support me, or just like, be a fucking human being.
Or try to educate yourself on that, or not even like, when I come into work, make me feel awkward for wearing my box braids. Right, like
I go research and Google it. Like it's also not your job. Like I had a friend
to have to educate all the time.
I told a friend of mine. I said, you know, there actually are groups for white people to talk about racism.
Yeah, and there's like these dinner parties now.
There's
they sign up.
Yeah, there's
I'm about
groups.
To host one of Airbnb experiences. Like, and let me tell you,
there are groups. And he was like, "What?" Like again, like.
they're trained by POC people on how to run these organizations because, like, we can't let y'all off to your own devices because can make a slippery slope to something else.
Y'all don't need to be waiting on there's a book, White Fragility Together.
I get nervous when, even I get a little nervous when it's a bunch of white people getting together.
That's a KKK.
Yeah. But there are ways, because also what's great is that, like, then white people can, like, feel the freedom to make mistakes, say the wrong thing amongst their own people. Yeah. And there's going to be white people within the group who are good at, who are trained on how to facilitate that conversation. Like, there are resources out there for you, and it's time for you
to... And this is what Rihanna was saying.
And this, this is what Rihanna was saying, is that as an ally, there's resources for you to step it up and do. It's not our job to hold your hand through this experience anymore.
And even when you think you do the job, you still have to realize that's a lifelong job. There's a lot of...
Because things are always shifting and changing. Mm-hmm. Like, even myself as an ally, I wake up every day and have to earn the right to call myself a feminist, an ally to women. Yeah. It's a daily thing that I have to do. And it comes from a lot of, like, educating myself and listening.
Even me, like, you know, a lot of the support I get in my comedy career comes from the LGBTQ community.
Hey, we love you.
I'm here, you know? And I have to make sure, like, you know, if I said something wrong, or if, you know, even if I try to experiment with new content, that I'm doing the research to be like, you know, I don't want to offend, and I want, if I say something, it's because I did my research or I experienced that, you know, like, so it's just, we can go on tangents. But the point of the story is that the Crown Act is, like, again, it seems crazy to have to tell people you should not discriminate someone for their appearance.
Right.
But you have to, you know, sometimes you have to, like, state that out.
Right.
And I just wanted to touch upon my homegirl, Keke Palmer.
Okay,
who has some ups and downs in her career, because people were just like, you know, sometimes, when you want to be a free spirit Black girl, it's always an issue for people. Mm-hmm. And Miley Cyrus could go through her little whole phase in peace.
Lindsay Lohan can do whatever she wants.
She can go by
Raven Simone, don't you dare.
Right.
Raven Simone, if she would have done half the shit that Lindsay Lohan had done, which they were roommates, actually, for a period of time, Raven Simone would have been shot dead by the cops.
She's wild a little bit.
She's doing her thing.
But, you know,
I support Black women.
Yeah.
Except for Stacey Dash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know. Either way, you know, I love that Keke Palmer is using her platform to talk up for Black History Month. She was talking about the Crown Act and kind of like the history of, like, how women have had to go through different methods to straighten their hair to assimilate into the workplace and all that stuff. So I think she's doing a really good job. I sent you the link so you could put it for the people.
Oh, I will put it for the people.
Because she was lively. She was there. And... Yeah, I hope I made sense. I feel like I went into a tangent,
It was great. Yeah. And you know what?
What?
And that's what Rihanna was saying. That's what she was saying. Say.
Yes, everything. That's, yo.
All right, Adam, Maximum Fun wants us to record, like, a promo to tell people that they should listen to The Greatest Generation. You want to do that?
No, I am tired of all the extra work. I just wanted to talk about Star Trek with my friend.
I think it would be good to, like, try and get some new listeners by appealing to the audiences of other shows. Like, this will only take a minute or two. It could be good for us.
We sit down for an hour every week and talk about a Star Trek episode and make a bunch of idiotic fart jokes about it. It's embarrassing. If it got out that we made this show, I think it would make us unemployable.
Adam, I have bad news for you. We have tens of thousands of listeners at MaximumFun.org.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going to throw up.
The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. Every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
I'm really going to be sick.
It's your corner now.
Ooh.
Kyle's corner.
Thank you for my theme music.
Mm-hmm, working on it.
Okay, yeah, it's a work in progress.
Miss Elliott's going to help us with the remix.
Ooh, the remix.
Nice. Remix.
So in my corner today, I'm going to talk about the fact that there aren't enough remixes. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Oh my God. They don't really do, like, remixes.
They don't really
anymore.
Do them anymore. We need
They're like,
more.
Here's the track.
Yeah.
My theory is because everything already sounds like a remix now. Yeah, everything's
that's
already
a good point.
EDM-y.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't
slow jam if you're like, we need to get this on a dance track.
But, you know, I'm interested in hearing different versions of the same song.
Oh my God. My workout
so,
playlist.
Like, I want to hear a remix.
I have 8 versions of Michelle Williams's We Break the Dawn.
Okay. There you go. I'm glad that
someone's
works for
listening
you.
To her one track is me.
You.
I'm proud of myself. And I'm proud of myself right now because I throw a lot of shade at Michelle Williams on this podcast, and I just said something nice.
There you go.
I listened to her same song in 8 different ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the rehabilitation episode.
Mm-hmm. You should get the right to vote. No, I'm not going to talk about remixes, although we should definitely have them.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk about Obama a little bit.
I miss him.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't watch his award-winning Oscar film.
Well, I'm going to.
Okay.
In order to strengthen my views on Obama.
Okay.
And where we are.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all miss him.
Yeah.
You know, we wish we could just go back to those days.
Even the people who voted. There's even people who voted for Trump who miss him.
Who miss him. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Trump is trash. So, yeah, we That's miss fair. Obama. That's but, fair. Like, what, you know, I think what's really interesting is, like, how what I've been thinking, what I keep finding myself thinking about recently is, like, given where everything is, like, in the Democratic primary, given where things are, you know, with regards to Trump and impeachment and no conviction, well, impeachment, right. but no conviction, you know, all that shit.
Confused.
Is, like, I wonder, and, like, there's always deference given by the most recent former president to the current president. But, like, we're in a, like, unprecedented time. And I am not one of those people that's like, Obama, where are you? Come back. Why aren't you doing so? You know, like, every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, look, you guys stressed this guy out for 8 years. You know, Republicans treated him like trash for 8 years.
Yeah. Well, and also, we didn't have his back because, like, a lot. Because
folks didn't always have his back.
Well, yeah. I think in general, like, I have to ask, like, in 2010... Did y'all vote in the midterms?
Yeah, no.
To help him. And that's why I'm saying, like, we didn't have his back.
Right.
Like, we keep, as a society, looking for one magical person to come in. And like,
and before it was the magical Negro to come in and solve all the problems from Bush. Right. And then you have, people, quote unquote, supporters being like, oh, yeah, he didn't solve everything.
Well, we lost the House and then the Senate. So it's like he couldn't do what he needed to do.
And then he was extremely limited. Yeah. And even within that, was able to do some great shit.
Yeah.
So,
he is amazing.
You know, so he is magical. No, but like,
so he is a magical Negro.
Yeah, he is actually a magical Negro.
Not disprove the point.
Yes, but yeah,
you're magical Negro.
Look at us. But yeah, I've been recently thinking a lot about, like, has too much crazy shit happened to the point where it's like, okay, but for real, Obama, like, come on back and do something now. You know, like, I mean, obviously the primary has to play itself out. But I mean, we talked a lot at the beginning about Bloomberg and, like, the fact that he's even fucking in the race and running, and, like, other people that were running that are not anymore. And it just has me thinking more and more recently about, like, should Obama come out and endorse somebody
earlier
than he should?
He's water skiing.
And, you know, honestly, that has been my position over these last, you know, three plus years, is like, he did his time. He did all that he could possibly do. If you ask him, you know, oh, did you make mistakes? Could you have done better? Of course, he's going to say yes. We all know how Obama is. Of course he'd say yes.
Yeah.
And he'd mean that shit.
Yeah.
But, like, I've been definitely someone who's like, leave the man alone. You know, like, let him go off and enjoy his life. You know, and all throughout all the Trump stuff, people, you know, there have been people who have been like, oh, where's Obama? Why isn't he speaking out on this? Or why isn't he speaking out on that? And I think, like, very strategically, every once in a while, every blue moon, he would come out and, like, say something. It was clear he'd be talking about Trump, but he usually didn't say his name specifically. Just kind of like put a marker in the sand. I'm Obama. This is where I'm at on something. This is really bad. Just going to make it clear. All right. Back to skiing.
Yeah.
Which is what he should be doing with his life.
Yeah, wasn't there? There was a tweet recently.
He did. Yeah, he did. Well, it was the and it's interesting. Like, I saw it, like, very soon after he tweeted it out. I guess I just happened to be on Twitter and I saw it was, like, within, like, 4 minutes or something. And it was the, what, like, 11th anniversary or something of when he signed.
Yes.
Like, passed the bill to, you know, like, the Recovery Act to attempt to get us through, you know, that horrible recession. And so when I saw the tweet, I didn't even see it as, like, shady, but I guess, you know, in the context in which we're in with Trump as president, like, I saw it, you know, in hindsight. But, like, basically he was like, you know, it's been X number of years, 11, whatever it was, since I signed the Recovery Act, which has ushered in, you know, consistent economic growth, you know, whatever, which I just saw that and was like, yeah, true, of course.
Yeah. Great,
good job. Like, retweet.
Yes.
Go about my business.
Yeah.
But of course...
Then Trump came
in. The baby in the White House saw it and, like, went off on a rant, as he does.
But yeah, he was like, ooh, he's trying to take credit for everything that I've done. Yes. It was a terrible economy. I'm trying to find the exact fucking tweet, but mm-hmm, like.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, classic bullshit from Trump.
Yeah, as usual.
Yeah.
Must be a day that ends in a Y.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Must be a day that ends in day.
Yes, there you go. Mm-hmm. All that. Every single fucking day. Fuck the D, just the AY.
Fuck the D. Yeah, you've been a fucking
Yeah. But yeah, but now I find myself kind of being like, all right, so maybe now it's time for Obama to say something.
What would his saying anything do? I say that only because, mm-hmm. I mean, he fully campaigned and endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and that didn't work, right?
I mean, again, for Democrats to win elections, we have to be twice as good and work twice as hard. Yeah, the road to the White House is so much more challenging for us, mm-hmm. because we're dealing with Russia, gerrymandering,
absolutely,
people's vote with things that Stacey Abrams is fighting against, voter suppression. Mm-hmm. So it's like our road is so much more challenging. And,
of course. Well, then perhaps that's all the more reason to pull out every stop that we have, right? And pull an Obama out of the toolkit and be like, all right, we need you. You know, break glass, we need you.
in case of emergency, that's where Obama
pull
is.
Pull out the magical Negro. But yeah, I mean, I think, like, again, going back to Bloomberg, like, I think it's showing that the Democratic primary is, like, chaotic. You know, you have Bernie Sanders, which many people feel like, I can't vote for Bernie Sanders. He's not a Democrat. He, you know, whatever. Or I don't like his supporters that, you know, are acting crazy online. You know, you have people, unfortunately, that feel like, oh, the country's not ready for a woman. I think that's bullshit. Many people think it's bullshit. In fact, 3 million more people think it's bullshit because they voted for Hillary.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, deny the fact that some people do feel that way. So, but for whatever reason, you're going to have that, like, the party is divided, and that's what a primary of so many people does. But I wonder if, given how chaotic it's becoming, right? Like, again, we talked about the fact that as we're talking right now, there's a debate on, and you have a person who's on there for the very first time. Meanwhile, this is like, what, the 8th debate?
Yeah, oh my God.
And like, we're adding people at this point.
We're trying to get rid of people. Yes,
like, we're trying to scale down and we're like adding people. So it makes me wonder, like, and I'm not necessarily saying that, like, now is the time for Obama. Like,
I'm kind of reaching. I'm reaching. Should I break it now?
Right now, break it out. But like, maybe there's a time coming very soon.
I could see
earlier than past presidents normally do.
I could see it if it was Bloomberg starting to do really, really well. And I think even then, I don't think he would, because, I mean, I have reservations against Michael Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
he's the only candidate that I've said that about on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Because again, I'm trying to stay open to whoever it might be. I have my ideas and my opinions, but mm-hmm. you can check my Facebook page to see all about that. But he's the one that I'm nervous. I have trepidation. Yeah.
He's definitely the one that gives me the most pause.
And ooh. And then it's just billionaire versus not millionaire.
Fake millionaire
guy. I feel like for him, I totally hear it as you're saying, but I feel like the Obamas and like Michelle, like their way of being involved is through their media, like their own, because they have so much power through their own sort of media channels, but they could, still come out and say something.
Yeah. And I think that like, they're still establishing themselves as like post White House.
Right.
Right. So like, I mean, the film that came out, they talked about before, and like the other projects that they're going to work on, like, yes, in their first project, they got an Oscar. But there's many more Oscars.
Oh my God,
achieve.
You're so fucking right. Their first swing.
First fucking shit.
Oh, an Oscar?
Oh, thank you. So, like, if you could do that, you know.
Oh my God, of course the Obamas.
Of course.
The first time he runs for president, he wins. Right. Sorry, Joe Biden.
Several times, and still not going to get it.
Oh man, I feel bad for Uncle Joe.
I don't.
I feel bad because I think that what happened was everyone went up to Uncle Joe. They're like, Uncle Joe, we need you. Can you run? Can you run, Uncle Joe? And then all the other people showed up to the party and everyone's like, oh, wait, we're good, actually.
Came. Oh, no, it's
fine.
And
he's like, I'm here.
I thought we needed ice, but we're okay.
We're good.
Thanks.
I just feel bad because he's lost so many children, and he could have ridden off into the sunset.
I think he should have.
But I think people, and I was a part of it when we were scared, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, Biden, Kamala, you know, like we were all, because we were scared because this was years ago, like, you know, right. we were scared.
Yeah.
But then I saw who came to the party, and I'm like, oh, we're good.
Oh, no, we're fine.
We're fine.
They're here.
And then in June, he was like, I brought ice.
Hey, guys. Yes, Mina, come.
We have lots of ice. A lot of people brought ice.
Good now. The music's good. It's okay.
We're fine. Now he's here. You made himself comfortable. I took his shoes off.
He's just sitting down. Right. Feet smell. Right. He's just like eating all the pizza. Like, come on.
She doesn't even go here.
Doesn't even go here anymore.
Interesting. I had a thought about what you were saying. I think here's what you know what I'm already thinking about.
Okay,
is the convention who's speaking on which night?
True.
It's always such an important thing because I am thinking. So like, if it is Bernie Sanders, like, will Hillary Clinton like?
I don't
what
even know
night?
How that lineup looks.
That's what I'm so curious.
Like, I feel like we should just do one night. Like, if Bernie Sanders is a nominee, just do one night.
Who are the speakers that lead up?
Have him give a speech.
AOC will speak.
All his people. Nina Turner will speak.
Yeah, right.
Just all the folks who endorsed him.
But
early.
I do think, like, it is, it would be a beautiful, has a great opportunity, like, everybody, like, Hillary Clinton has to speak.
You're going to have to.
She has to. But I'm just wondering, which night is it? It can't be Monday. It's got to be as close as it can kind of, you know,
too, like, weird.
So I've already, that's where my brain already is. Mm-hmm. And then I also am.
Maybe she should just record a video.
Hey, everybody, couldn't make
it. Hey, guys, vote for, and then like insert candidate here. Yeah.
Do you think that we'll end up having a candidate before the convention?
So that's the point I was going to get to as you started bringing up the convention. It's like, we're talking about like layout and what day who's going to speak. Like we might not even like we is. May. Yeah,
Which
we
then,
may still need to get to the juicy
speeches
shit.
Speeches about if you don't even have a candidate, this is a mess. And here's what I think.
I love
the primaries. I was a big fan of. I like there was all those candidates
because same.
I was like, let's hear all these different conversations. Mm-hmm, it felt very democratic. It felt like finally because it's been too much just like two people running before in the past. Yeah, I loved it. But now as it started getting closer, I think
it's like, all right, guys,
we
just sit down.
Got to. I think like by the time it's like April and I don't even if it's like my favorite candidate, if they're not winning, I would. Like, we got to have a candidate before the convention because...
I just don't know if that's going to happen.
It would be so dangerous.
Right.
I feel like someone...
To walk in there and have it be a mess.
Someone has to, even if they're, like, in third place and they're wanting to hold on strong, for the sake of the party, would have to because going in for a fractured convention... I saw House of Cards. Mm-hmm. I remember I saw a documentary about 1968.
Yeah.
This is not a good idea, and we need as much time to try to unify
to heal. Yeah, no, definitely.
And
because
I remember the convention, it was very healing for me because I was a very huge Bernie Sanders fan. But I watched the convention; it did the work for me. Mm-hmm. I listened to Hillary Clinton's speech. I felt empowered. I felt ready. I was like, "Let's go do it." I felt unified. Felt like that. But if we're still trying to figure out who's driving the bus.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Who got the keys.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you fall off a cliff before, you know, you pick the person just in time to go off the cliff.
And that's like exactly what they want.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's exactly what they want. So it's like, I think, like, this is cute for now. Let's keep like, ooh, we're going to be, a caucus. And, ooh, a little primary, a Super Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But come end of March, like, people need a Klobuchar. You gotta get out of there.
Yeah, Klobuchar is gonna have to be
at that point
soon. I think Super Tuesday, she's gonna have to be out by Super Tuesday. I mean, unless of course the country surprises us and wars are a bunch of delegates, but that's not gonna happen.
Sorry if she's your person.
Sorry, y'all.
But I mean,
I'm a supporter of Elizabeth Warren. I want to see her get it. I want to see her make it, you know, far enough to get the delegates that she needs.
Agreed.
You know, so even if that means going to the convention.
Really? You're okay with a fractured convention?
I am okay
God,
with
that makes
it.
Me so nervous. I'll have to meditate 4 times a day if that happens.
Double up. I mean, I absolutely
meditating
get you.
24 hours
just
a day.
Nonstop. Pause to use the bathroom and
just
eat.
Get
and
me in a coma, essentially.
Yeah,
meditate a coma.
That sounds safe, actually.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the particulars really matter, right? Like, who's left at the time?
True.
When we get there.
Yeah.
What's the actual delegate breakdown?
If it's like Michael Bloomberg, a brown paper bag, and, you know, Patrick Duvall.
Patrick. Or back. Patrick Duvall. You know, he might, whoever that is, saying. He might jump into the race since we're adding new people.
It's just the same guy with a mustache.
Right, exactly. You've never seen me before, but listen to my policies.
Patrick Duvall.
Do you Sasha like this Shushets. Guy? Yeah, waiting for that guy to jump in. But yeah, it depends okay. on it depends
you like
on
to live wild and reckless. Yeah, yeah. So we gotta start getting
I mean, I don't like to. I absolutely agree with you. I would much prefer after Super Tuesday I'd love to be like, all right, this is it.
I'm okay with going a little bit after Super Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, New York goes April 28th. I want us
that's
to matter. I want us to matter. I mean, that's not that bad when you think about it, right? Like the I know you want
in July.
It now. Exactly. So
April 1st and no April 2nd because I don't want nobody pulling no jokes.
Like, ah, just kidding.
Oh, it's Patrick Duvall.
And my twin Duvall Patrick is my vice
They've
president.
They've already picked their ticket.
Right.
It's literally just sister.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I'd watch that. Actually, if that's the ticket, I'll vote because it's fun and whimsy.
Okay, there you go. I feel like we've had enough of, like, random
I want
presidents.
Either whimsy or, okay. like, real, like, legit, I'm going to change mm-hmm. the country.
Okay.
But not being a magical person, like the magical leader who brings us all together mm-hmm. and you got a job and you got a job. Ah. And not like you've got a job
so
job.
So you want Oprah.
But, like... Oh, like yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. I want someone magical and someone who gives out.
Yeah. There you go.
No, I would never want her to go through that.
Right. See, that's how I feel.
Would never want her.
That's how I feel about Michelle Obama. People are like, no. Someone should pick her as vice president. Stay the hell away from
you know
Michelle
why?
Obama.
Because you listen to her book and you know that she don't want
she
anything
do
to do
shit.
With the politics.
No parts.
Barely wanted to do what she needed to do in the first place.
For her man. Exactly.
Because you're about, she's like, oh, Barack, mm-hmm. what have you gotten us into?
I don't want to do this shit.
I got to go to the White House.
Gonna do what? First day of people.
But she did it and she was the most.
She did it.
One of the most amazing first ladies we've ever had.
Absolutely.
Let's end on that note.
Yeah. You already heard your recording?
I'm Linda tripping you now.
No.
Tell me, wait, what did you say about Obama?
Huh? What? I might have jokingly said Obama 2020.
And then I might have said he can't run again. And then I said, but could he?
And I might have said, I think he can.
So we could pull a, I don't want to use this as a reference, but mm-hmm. it's the only like modern day reference that my mind has. He'd be pulling a Putin.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Just so we're on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly
It's not exactly
the same,
like, it's just,
you know, the
yeah,
systems
not even
shit.
Nearly
But I think it's more,
same.
It's just a like constitutional question.
They just can't do back
you
to
can't,
back
yeah.
terms.
But who's to say that you couldn't, you know, come back later and have another term? I'm not suggesting it.
Okay.
I'm not advocating for
you.
It. Right. She's like,
Michelle is like right outside the window once. Being like, what are you
Let's
saying?
Go.
We are out of here.
Get out of here.
Well, glad we solved that. Mm-hmm.
Mission Control, this is Rocket Ship 1. Come in, Mission Control.
This is Mission Control. Go ahead.
We have incoming, and it looks big.
Can you identify?
It looks like some sort of pledge drive. Affirmative. It's Max Fun Drive.
That's a verified Max Fun Drive. Countdown to Max Fun Drive is initiated. Can you project a time to intercept?
Based on the current trajectory, Max Fun Drive will be here from March 16 to March 27.
March 16 to March 27, roger. Rocket Ship 1, can you confirm a visual on common Max Fun Drive phenomena, such as the best episodes of the year, bonus content, and special gifts for new and upgrading monthly members?
We have a visual. Great episodes, bonus content, premium gifts confirmed, and more. It sure sounds quiet down there. Mission Control, what's your status?
All systems go, Rocket Ship 1. Just catching up on our favorite Max Fun shows so we can tune into Max Fun Drive episodes between March 16 and March 27. Over and out.
Because we're saved by the bell. Do, 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 do. So I made you, I wanted to talk about this Lark Voorhees.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I made you watch.
Right, you made me watch all three of her interviews, all her past. She's like, who said, my mom called you? I was like, oh, wow. Okay, James.
So this is, I think this was just such a hard, I don't even know how, so Lark Voorhees was on Dr. Oz recently. Mm-hmm. I myself have never seen an episode. This is my first, I didn't even see an episode, I just saw these clips.
I interviewed Dr. Oz one time.
Did you?
I did, on the red carpet. And no I, way. And I have a clip. I asked a son if he takes his advice and his son was like, no. And I
fair,
was like,
fair.
He was rebelling, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would get that too. Be like, no, I don't listen to my dad. Yeah. Your dad pays your bills.
Right.
So there was a clip. So Lark Voorhees, which you might know as Lisa Turtle, mm-hmm. she also was on, she had life after Saved by the Bell. She was on, what was that LL Cool J show? In the House.
Okay.
Which had Alfonso Roberto, who was in... Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And she was in like the last season. Yeah. They were like lovers on it or whatnot. Ooh. So, but Lark Voorhees has, so there's a new Saved by the Bell reunion that's happening, or a reboot, as the kids are calling it. The guy who plays Zach Morris, I forget his name.
I've always just called him Zach.
Yeah. So Zach, he's leading the charge. Everyone's coming back except for Screech, which I understand because Dustin Diamond is.
Wait, so this is going to bring back Kelly
and Kelly, Jesse, who's too so excited and took her top off during
the stripper movie,
which the plot of that movie was written on a cocktail napkin in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And they thought they were going to get Drew Barrymore.
Oh, okay. I would have.
They got Jesse Spano instead.
Yeah, that would have been
Drew Barrymore was not going to do that movie. Yeah, like, and Mario Lopez, who doesn't age. Mm-hmm. He can get it, even though I think he's conservative. But
yeah, I was gonna say
he likes to keep his money. Yeah. Sometimes they get what happens to these celebrities. They get their money, and they're like, "Mine!" Right. Like little golems about it. Anyways, so they're all coming back except for Lisa Turtle's not coming back, and Screech isn't coming back. I understand. I want to invite Screech back to reunion. Yeah. Dustin Diamond. I saw him on Surreal Life. He is a lot and not a great person.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And he had that whole like porn video situation.
So I get it. And he was.
But
always,
why do we need a reboot, anyways?
Well, everything old is new again.
Oh, nobody wants to watch that shit.
Well, I would. You don't want to relive your childhood?
No, I have reruns on Netflix and 123movies.com.
Don't even know what that is. And Redbox.
Yeah, all that shit.
But everyone was invited back except for Lark Voorhees. And people are like, what? Like, is this because...
That is not a good look.
Is it because... Well, Mario Lopez is...
Mario Lopez can pass for white. Definitely.
People forget that he's kind of like, I'm going to say this, kind of like a J-Lo, where they forget that like, they need non-white.
They can bring the... I don't want to like bash it because you know everybody has their own route to success, but they can step in and out whenever they feel like
it. And everyone has their experience too. And it's also too, I think, like, how do you rep, I think, your communities and your cultures? Yeah. And also at the time, I will say Mario Lopez came up in a time where... I don't. There was a lot of celebration in the 90s for like Latino anything, you know.
Yeah. So.
And there was like, I mean, the Saved by the Bell was dope because there was, I mean, two out of the six characters were not white, so that was really cool an experience. And Lisa Turtle was a rich black girl in LA, like just against the stereotype that you've ever seen black girls being played. And Stacey Dash would later go on to play one in Clueless, and then she went crazy.
Yeah.
She's in jail now.
Is she?
Or she got arrested.
Oh.
Domestic violence.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I remember
she
that.
She did it.
Oh.
She, of course she's wilding out because she's so much self-hatred inside of her.
But that's what I was going to say. Well, I know we're going to talk about
Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
No, we're
going to
talk
Lark
about
Voorhees.
Yeah, Lark Voorhees, about how, you know, she does have a mental, well, her mom and her family and her psychiatrist diagnosed her with a mental disorder. But I also think that her being on that set and in that time maybe amplified maybe certain demons that maybe wouldn't have existed if she wasn't on it. Which she trailblazed it, but when you're the trailblazer, you're the only one there. So you don't have nobody to run your thoughts through. Like you feel kind of, you know, it's a white ass world and you want to fit in and you're doing I saw her. I was like, oh my God, gay black girl.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to do that, to have that mental capacity to be like, all right, I'm going to do this. And if people say white people shit to me, I'm going to just let it go.
Standing next to Kelly Kapowski.
Who's like seen as this like beautiful American girl and probably is getting all this press and being seen in a different light. And she's probably not getting the same kind of attention at that time, you know?
True. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So like you're saying, so she was on Dr. Oz and so she was supposed to be on the show 2 years ago, but Dr. Oz conveniently had footage of them being like her with them on the phone and being like, oh, we're not going to have her on the show.
I just cannot.
Yeah. Okay, let's play a clip.
So let me explain what we're going to do today. Lark is joined by her mom, Trisha, and her psychiatrist, Dr. Modir. They're here for support. Lark's disorder, which we're going to get into in a bit, causes her to have some trouble articulating her thoughts. So her mom and doctor are here to help out. I was going to start in the beginning. Saved by the Bell, iconic show in the 90s, your first big role. And I'm just curious, what was your relationship like with the stars of that show?
It was very family-like, which I'm sure you can relate. Yes. Each stage performance becomes your audience and family. And we're up together, down together, together, together.
Did you have a good time while you were taping the show?
Definitely. Those are some of my happiest moments of my childhood.
Did you like being famous? Did you enjoy having the fans?
Every moment.
You did?
Indeed.
Mm. I see that in your eyes. That's good.
And so, but yeah, like, it was for the first time for myself seeing someone. So when she comes on the show and you see her being interviewed, it was so hard for, like, so hard for me to watch. Like, who am I? Like, it was so hard for me to watch.
Empathetic.
Because yes, there it is. Okay. So I was feeling so empathetic because you can see that she's really, it was the first time I've seen someone really struggling with her mental illness, mm-hmm. like her, because it's hard for her to form her words.
Yeah.
And she looked like she was on the verge of tears all the time. Yeah. And you can see that her brain is trying to work to make things happen. And my heart just really went out to her, and it seems like they should have reached out, like her, like the same with the Bell kids should have reached out. That she's struggling and she's hurting, and maybe they didn't reach out to her because they know that she has mental health and she couldn't script.
Yeah, I'm not trying to give him a pass, but I think sometimes when you So I guess
when
when the reunion, they should have at least asked her if she wanted to be part of it, or maybe had somebody. You know how her therapist was on set, like maybe it could have been a service provided to her.
And her therapist did say that Lark is able to read a script; she can handle a script.
Yeah. I thought that shit was weird. I'm like,
the interview is not talking.
Not the interview. I'm saying, like, why wouldn't you invite the one black girl back to the show? That shit is weird. She was a really big part of Zach and her had a little like love affair before he
went
to college.
It's so confusing the timeline of Saved by the Bell, because there is one episode where Zach and Lisa get together.
Yeah.
There's a fight between Zach and Screech. They get together. They walk down.
Screech liked her.
For seasons. Mm-hmm. And finally, Zach and Lisa were going to get together.
Yeah.
And the show, Screech gives the blessing for Lisa and Zach to be together. They walk hand in hand down the hallway. And then the next episode, it's graduation. You're like, but wait, what happened?
Right. And they go to summer camp, and that girl that was a Scientologist is in the office.
Lisa Remini.
Yeah.
Leah Remini.
Yeah, I hope they bring her back. Like her.
I love Leah Remini. Her face doesn't move anymore,
but
that's okay.
She's J-Lo's best friends.
They are. Yeah. They are.
Well, everything's full circle.
So everything is so full circle.
And that's what Rihanna. No, I'm kidding.
And that's what Rihanna was trying to say.
Oh, but you got to cut that out. Yeah. Everything, yes.
No, it's fine. We'll go back.
I just wish they would have invited. I wish Dr. Oz didn't make. I think it was a little bit of a spectacle, a little bit of her disorder, like reading the journal. I was like, that's a lot.
He was like, you wrote this in your journal, but she can't really. I think he had her write this down because she can't, like, in an interview come up with what she wants to say. So they had her, like, read, like, hey, Lark, what was your thoughts about not being invited back? And she read it out loud very articulately.
But I guess my question is, what was he trying to demonstrate with that? Was he trying to demonstrate, like, let's have empathy for her? Were they trying to be like, hey, you better put her in the show? Like, what is the message? I think it's fine. I think it's great to have people with mental disorders so we can see it. But, like,
because it's my first time I've connected to someone who's had a mental health issue.
What did you want to say? So what was your genuine message? Because I feel like you were kind of using her.
Well,
one,
I definitely think ratings because you're
you're like, ratings.
This one, I think ratings.
Right.
But two, like,
because we've never seen the show before that. I was never going to watch Dr. Oz. I don't give a fuck about fruits and vegetables.
And I tuned in. So one, ratings. But two, I will say to his credit that he did say that they almost had her on 2 years ago. But what they were hearing in her prelim interview, they were too concerned that they couldn't put her on air.
Okay.
So then he linked her up with that therapist that you saw her.
Okay, that's
that
how it. Okay, that's how. It came
so that's what they put her with that psychiatrist, and then 2 years later, we're able to bring her back on the show because then he showed some clips. He's like, "Well, here's you in this interview that everybody was so confused
that
about.
Shit is so,
they didn't even show it. We had to go watch it ourselves."
Yeah.
And her makeup is crazy.
The makeup was crazy, but it wasn't like she. It looked like she couldn't put her thoughts together. But it wasn't like she was like, you know,
wilding
someone
out.
Could have said like when Kanye West said Bush doesn't like black people. That was what, I mean, it's true.
Well, she wasn't as articulate as saying
that. Yeah, like, I think it sounded like she was having issues putting words together, but the way they described it, like, crazy, I was like, And the moderator was like, you felt crazy. Like, it was just like, yeah, not sense. It wasn't nice.
Interviewer on Entertainment Tonight kept like using the word crazy, which is just gaslighting.
I hate when people use the word crazy.
Yeah, we need to change
I'm not
that.
Friends with people, like, when they call me crazy. I'm like,
we're done.
Yeah.
Well, Lark Voorhees, we are sending thoughts and prayers your way. We want to see you on that reunion. Zach Morris, call your girlfriend.
Right.
Call your true girlfriend.
Nobody wants to see you with Kelly
Kapowski. Kelly, even though they did do a movie where they went to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And got married. And it's weird because Lark is in that movie. Jesse's not.
They always be trying to move the minorities out. Like, remember when Miranda got kicked out of Lizzie McGuire? I mean, she was going through her own issues, but it's like, come on.
I don't, but I remember her on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she died. She
Miranda?
Is she the little Latina?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on Buffy for an episode or two. She kills herself. Spoiler alert.
Yo, I'm tired of you ruining shit for me.
She can't handle it. Right. But maybe she pops up in Charmed.
Maybe. Stop playing.
Woohoo. And that is the show. I mean, just, oh my gosh, look how much was almost on the cutting room floor, never to be heard again. Two beautiful, wonderful corners. Big thanks to Glory and Kyle being back on the show. And now for the fact check, or just some things that we want to circle back and highlight too. Now, I was going to do a Google search and list. There are the groups of for white people to talk about racism and white privilege, but then I was like, that's not my job. You've got Google. You all can do it and figure it out. It's part of the homework and the research. That's what Google is for. I told you about it. Now go find it. And post it in the Minority Corner Kids Playground, because I'm sure you're not alone and folks that are wanting to have that safe space to be able to talk about racism and white privilege. I had mentioned somewhere that Dustin Diamond had... I was talking about Dustin Diamond, and then I saw something on the news. I could not. So I need a fact check for my fact check. But he spent some time, either he's still in prison or he at least has spent some time in prison for stabbing a man. Dustin Diamond, aka Screech. Okay, the name of the app that is helping people of color find therapists from their same cultural background, which is so key and so incredibly important. So you don't have to explain your experience to anybody that you're trying to get help from, as Glory had to experience and she had to walk out on her therapist. It is called Ayana. We will link it in the show notes. It is, check that out. Everybody needs therapy. Everybody does. Everybody needs it. But especially, everyone's got shit to unpack. This is actually just me, Joe Bidening, or AKA put my foot in my mouth. Ooh, see what I did there? We were talking about, we made reference about how people shouldn't use the word crazy to reference what we're talking about, mental health. We said that people like the interviewer shouldn't reference and shouldn't use the word crazy to describe people, and really trying to eliminate that word. And I think we called Stacey Dash crazy. So, whoops, we Joe Biden'd it. Is that a thing? Is that a term? Vote blue no matter who. Also, I'm going to link this. I found this to be really helpful. It's a political coordinates test. You can see exactly how left or how liberal or how right or communitarian you are through answering the 36 questions and kind of just see where you fall on the political spectrum. And like exactly where on this political spectrum you fall on. It's very fascinating, very interesting, and I think it'll help you sort of figure out. It's just a very interesting, fun thing. And as you heard in the promo, we've got the Maximum Fun Drive. It is coming up. So I'm so excited. We've got some great special guests coming down the pipeline. Some new, some old, some familiar. It's going to be great. It's one of my favorite times of year, the Maximum Fun Drive. So if it's your first Maximum Fun Drive, you are in for a treat. And for our seasoned veterans, you know what's up. It's going to be some great stuff, some opportunities to become a member on Maximum Fun and get some really great, dope prizes and dope content. And we got some great contests and challenges that are going to be really fun. So I'm really looking forward to it. Well, that is the show. I hope you are, staying healthy during this primary season. If you've gotten knocked out, recover and get back up, get back in the fight. Figure out your lane, figure out your pathway, and most of all, be respectful. It does not need to get nasty, y'all. It does not need to get nasty, because we If you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume we are on the same side. Even we're all on the same side of humans. And so just remember, there's a human on the other side. Lead with your heart, vote with your heart. You can be in this fight and still come from a place of compassion, which is something that I have learned over these, or was not, I already knew that, but I think that for myself, a certain candidate really highlighted that for myself. So get involved in the conversation. You can tweet at us. You can Instagram us. And the most important thing, we're on Facebook, Minority Corner Kids Playground. So that is the show. Dream big, fight hard, y'all. And thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're the majority. Love y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.